I have good news for you today. Who could use a little good news? I know I need it. I was talking to some of the old guys. Can I call you the old guys? Because it's my favorite table out there. And by the way, now that I have turned where I think I qualify for the seniors group, now I'm one of the old guys, finally. I've finally made it. But we were sitting out there talking beforehand about, you know, just what we do when we come together and we preach and we minister to the Word of God. And I said, I cannot tell you how many times I come and stand in this pulpit and I'm preaching to myself. The reason I bring words of encouragement every Sunday is because I know I need them. If I was going to church someplace, I gotta tell you, I really wouldn't need to be beat up very often. I beat my own self up enough. But I need encouragement. I need exhortation. I need someone to come and preach to me from the Holy Spirit about the things that the Word of God says. Isn't that what you came for? And so if you've got a Bible, turn to it, to the book of Hosea. If you don't know the book of Hosea, it's found in the sticky pages section of your Bible. I call it the sticky pages because it's the part that nobody goes to. And so if you've bought a Bible recently, it's still probably stuck together by the gold paint on the edges. Hosea is one of the minor prophets. We call it in the Christian Bible. The Hebrews just called it one book. They called it the book of the 12. And so there were 12 prophets. They weren't minor because they were unimportant. They were minor because their books were short. And so it's not that they didn't have anything important to say. They just took less time to say it. And Hosea is one of the oldest. He may even be the oldest. And in fact, I know this is hard to sort out, but it may be one of the oldest books in the entire Bible. And so I know that there were stories like Moses and Abraham that happened before then, but I'm not talking about when the story happened. I'm talking about when it was written down. And so Hosea was one of these prophets, and he lived way up in the north. And so in the olden days in the Bible lands, the 10 northern tribes were the majority, and then there were two southern tribes that were called Judah. The northern tribes were called Israel, and until the Assyrians came in and conquered the north, and then the Bible became mostly about the south. Well, we're reading today from a very old prophet and a very northern prophet. We know that when we read it in the original language, his dialect is very northern. He even uses a lot of Aramaic terms, which is the language of the Assyrians. And his assignment was to come and to preach to Israel, the northern 10 tribes, and to get them to repent. Can you believe one of the very earliest messages, gospel messages in the Bible, was that we need to turn around and come back to the Lord? In the north, there were still a lot of people, even those that were in the 10 tribes of the north, that were worshiping Yahweh, but they were also worshiping the Baals. And so the word Baal was just a Canaanite word for Lord. And so they had Baal of this, Baal of that, you know, Lord of the house, Lord of Mount Hermon, Lord of... That was just their name for God. And they had shrines to them everywhere. And when they wanted the crops to come up, they would go and they would do sacrifices to the Baals. And so Hosea was one of the first to come along and saying, the reason that you keep getting beat down by the Assyrians and you don't have victory in your life is you're turning to all of the wrong things when you should be turning to the Lord. You're turning to everything else for your strength, for your sustenance. And if you would just come back to the Lord, times of refreshing would come. And so here in the middle of Hosea, just like I found a wonderful nugget in the middle of Lamentations last week, in the middle of this book of Hosea, he says this to us. He says, come, let us return to the Lord. Would you say that again? Come, let us return to the Lord. That word in Hebrew is shuv. That we would come back, that we would return, physically come back to him. For he has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. I know some of those old phrases, and you have to understand, this isn't just from the Old Testament. This is really, really, really old. And the earliest Hebrew ideas, they didn't blame anything on the devil. They said all of the good and the bad stuff, it all comes from the Lord. And so when they were attacked by the north, that's the context of this. Whenever they lost the battles, they'd say, well, this is the Lord's judgment upon us. So it's because of our sin. Most of the book of Hosea is saying that to them. You've done this, you've done this, and you've done this. You need to turn back to the Lord. But he says in the midst of it, even though in God's righteousness we're receiving what we had coming, God is still the one that's going to heal us and restore us. He says after 2 days, he will revive us. And on the third day, he will restore us that we might live in his presence. King James says in that second part, it says on the third day, he will raise us up. And so in the New Testament, when it says that Jesus died and was buried and was raised on the third day, according to scripture, he's talking about Hosea 6:2. This is the verse. It was a prophecy first about how God was a God that raises all of his people up. That whenever they go through a bad season, he's that God of resurrection. And it became the very foundation down the path through Jesus and what he did by being raised from the grave on the third day, that he was bringing this prophecy of Hosea back to life for each and every one of us. In verse 3, it says this. It says, let us acknowledge the Lord and let us press on to acknowledge him. In King James, it says, let us know the Lord. It's the same word, yada, means to know him intimately, have a relationship with him. Let us press on to know the Lord better. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth. How many are familiar with the spring rains? We just have one rain here in Oregon, and it just lasts for about 2/3 of the year. It's one rain. In Israel, it rains twice a year. Do you imagine? There's just two seasons. There's the former and the latter rain. There's the autumn rain, and there's the spring rain. And so you better have something big to collect the rain in. They have cisterns in all of those cities to collect all of the rainwater because that's the only time it rains. And here's what he's saying. So where everybody else in the north was going and chasing after the Baals and saying, oh, please give us rain, please give us rain, give us the sunshine. Hosea was saying, you're chasing after the wrong thing. It's the Lord that brings the rain. And guess what, friends? I'm going to say it by faith because the weatherman promised it. But sometime this week, God is also going to restore the sun. You think it's true? Who will believe with me? I don't know. It's a reasonable faith, I think. But the sun is coming back. I can't believe it. But Hosea is saying, listen, just like the sun, even when you can't see it, it comes up every day. Comes up every day. And just like the rain is faithful, we know a lot about that part. But, you know, you tell your friends that don't live in Oregon, but that's what makes it green, right? That's what makes the flowers grow. That's what makes all the plants come back to life. There's life in that rain. And just like the rain is faithful to bring life, so the Lord in our life will always be faithful. He will always bring restoration. He will always bring renewal if we would just return to him as our source and our strength. Amen? So the first thing he says is, he's torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He's injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. I don't want to focus on the Lord tearing us to pieces. That's just this word that means that in their mind and in their interpretation that this destruction from the Assyrians had happened because the Lord had let it happen. But he says, but the Lord is the one that restores us. You know, I never go around praying for tragedy or praying for hardship in my life. Do you? I know that there are good things that happen in my life, even when I get injured, even when I get hurt, even when I go through hard times. I'm old enough now, I recognize that. There's value in those things. And I also recognize I don't have to go chasing it. It just happens. How many have discovered that part too? Stuff just happens. I don't ever say, Lord, oh, Lord, help me get injured. It just happens. But I say, Lord, I'm so grateful that you're a healing God. And if you have the faith and the perspective in him, he can even use the tragedies in our life to do good things. How many have understood that's true? And so we read last week in Lamentation, God does not willingly bring grief upon anybody. He doesn't bring the grief. He brings the joy. He brings the healing. He's the one who restores. And that can happen when somebody like a personal trainer is putting you through artificial stress to make you stronger or to make you fit. And that can even happen when your enemy does bad things to you. And so there's this great story, and it ends the book of Genesis, this great multiple cycles of all of the patriarchs. It ends with Joseph's story. You remember Joseph? He was the favored son, and his brothers beat him up and threw him into a hole and then sold him into slavery. And then many years later, he becomes the prime minister of all of Egypt. and is responsible for feeding his own people. There's a whole backstory to that, but I just want to focus in on the story itself. When his brothers finally realized that it's their little brother that they had treated wrongly, they came back after their father died and they were afraid he was going to kill them. And Joseph looked at him and he said something profound. What a great way to end the story. He says, listen, am I in the place of God? I'm not going to lay one finger on you. And he says this to his older brothers. He said, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. You know what that is? That's a response of faith. You can say, all right, Lord, maybe the situation in my life is because of the treachery of human beings. Maybe there was somebody that just had ill will towards me. We have a free will and people can do bad things. Maybe what's happened to me is just a result of natural causes. Something just changed. Anyway, did we go down through it? Just let me do it. My ADD will kick on and then I don't know where I am. And so Genesis, there I am. It says, He says, you intended it to harm me, but God intended it for my good. God can even take the things that happen to us from some other cause. And if you allow him to, he can bring about a deep change. He can bring about healing, a deeper understanding, a greater compassion for other people that are going through something similar to you. How many are with me so far? And the problem is, in order to get that, we have to have the kind of a response to him that says, Lord, even if it wasn't you that caused it, I'm going to receive it, and I want to learn from you. And so instead of coming back to you and say, Lord, why did this happen? Why did this happen? My two more important questions are what? What do you want me to learn? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do right now with this situation? How do you want me to act? What is my next step? And Lord, what do you want me to learn from the midst of it? And so healing begins when we submit to God's purpose in our life. When we tell him, Lord, I want you to be in my life. I want to do it your way. I want to understand from it. I want to listen to you in the midst of it. And then you can bring healing in my life. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 10 says this, otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed. Isaiah is saying this and something that Judah wasn't going to do during his time. But the Lord says, and Jesus quotes from this, if they would just listen, if they would hear with their ears and understand with their hearts, and they would turn back to me. That's what the call of Hosea is. Turn back to the Lord. Now, I'm not saying you turned away from him, but are you turning first to something else, or are you turning first to the Lord? I'm not one of those that preaches against medicine. I think modern medicine is a part of the knowledge that God has given us. So many different diseases and issues have been cured. I'm not against counseling. I think sometimes the best thing you can do is talk to somebody. And that's all a good counselor does. I'm not against eating right or recreating and doing whatever it is that we do to restore ourselves. All of those things are good. But I got to tell you, there's some part of that healing that only happens in the presence of the Holy Spirit. There's some part of that restoration that you just can't get anyplace else. Molly ran 6 marathons in her life so far. It's just amazing to me anybody that would run one marathon. But I can't even drive that far. But she ran 6 of them. And every time she did, I would send her away on a little retreat afterwards. I usually tell her the morning of. So it gave her a little bit of something to look forward to. Oh, boy, I'm going to get to go away to this place or this place. And a couple times I sent her to a spa over in Washington. And they just have all of the menu of things you can do, right? And it was great. So one time she says, why don't you come with me? I said, oh, okay. Said, I'm into the spa thing, I thought, you know, but I don't mind. Oh, man, but with my bad back, massage feels really good. And said, what else did they do there? She goes, well, they have a thing called the Socana wrap. I'm like, okay, do you like it? Yeah, I said, okay, I'll try. I just realized Socana wrap is not really probably the best thing for a kid with ADHD. Because here's what they do. Okay, first of all, it's a soak in a tub. So it's a couple's thing, you know, so they have big tubs. And just to explain, I haven't taken a bath since I was 8. No, I mean, I take showers every day. Don't get me wrong. I'm cleanly. I just don't take baths. Bathtubs were not created for guys that are 6'9", 300. They aren't. I can't fit in them. They don't physically make bathtubs my size, which means at least 50% of me is out of the water at all times. I can't put myself all the way in there. So half of me is warm and comfy. The other half is freezing to death. I just don't do it. I take showers. So they put us in this bath, but it's a big one. It's nice and long and wide, and they poured it, and some guy named Chip or whatever his name drew the bath and then left, and we got into the tub, and we're sitting there, and I look over at Molly, and she's just sitting back, relaxing. She could take a bath for an hour or two and just soak, warm it up every once in a while. And I sat there for 2 hours in that tub. And by 2 hours, I mean 5 minutes. Because it felt like 2 hours. I'm sitting there trying to relax, and then I'm like, trying to focus. I'm like looking at it, and there's this music from I don't know where, all this. I finally just look over and I say, Molly. I said, what? What are we supposed to do now? She goes, you don't do anything. You just soak there. I'm like, oh, man, what is this over? So finally that was over, and I was like, thank goodness. And they said, no, you're not done yet. I said, what? No, now here comes the wrap. And so you know what a wrap is you lay down, and they put all of these big, heavy, warm towels around you like a mummy. I felt like Jesus in the tomb. It was just like this. I can't move, can't stretch out. They even put it, wrap it around your face like this, so only this much is showing. And here I am. The bed's not long enough anyway, so my feet are sticking off the end, and I'm just like this, and I'm like, man. I said, you know what I could use really right now? This would be a lot better if there was a big screen TV right on the ceiling and a clicker. I don't know. You can go for the soak and a wrap if you want to. My spa day is a couch and a clicker. I said, I got to have something to occupy my brain. I tell you, was I healed after that? I don't know. I was bored. It wasn't bad. But I got to tell you, there are times when all I need, and you know, the last couple of weeks have been a great example. Some of you know some of it. I've had physical healing to do. We've been going through a lot of stress, interceding with our kids. And I would not be here today if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit in my life. I am just so grateful for the healing that happens. And friends, if you need healing today, I'm going to tell you, go to the spa. Man, go fishing. Go do what you do to get well in your head and in your spirit. But one thing do not forget to do is turn unto the Lord. Seek his presence. Spend some time just with the Jesus in your life, saying, Lord, I need your restoration. I need more than just physical healing. I need more than just mental health. I need spiritual healing. I need you to come and touch my heart. Remind me of the part of me that's supernatural. I'm not just a physical being. How many know that that's true? There's a spiritual part of us. You know, when my kids are growing up, and if they ever struggle, say, Dad, why do we go to church? I said, well, that's a good question. I said, why do you plug in your cell phone? So what happens to your cell phone? You don't plug it in. They all understand that. What happens? It dies. Go try to use it the next day. It's not going to work. Yell at it, scream at it. It's not going to work because it's run out. There's a part of us that was meant to connect with the Lord. There's a part of us that was meant to reconnect with our Savior, and we only get filled up by connecting with him. And so we come back to the Lord, not just that I've said anything that you've never heard before today, but we come back to the Lord because it's through the worship and the word and the fellowship that we get filled up. That we get renewed. Anybody say amen? Say amen. That's what he says in verse 2. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up that we might live in his presence. And so revival is so important. We use this word whenever, you know, there are pockets in the country or in the world that just see a lot of people come to know the Lord. By the way, I don't consider a revival when it's just church people getting together and having big meetings. That's not necessarily a revival. A revival happens when one at a time, somebody's life gets changed. Revival happens one person at a time, and then it happens to a bunch of us. It begins when people begin to come back to the Lord, and God brings us back from the dead. I love the fact that here in the Old Testament, he even prophesied about the fact that Jesus was going to raise from the dead. Have you ever been raised from the dead? You know, there's a big picture, a big metaphor here, that God is a God of resurrection, and that's not just for someday. He takes things that are dead and he brings them back to life. Just like right now, all of those plants and all of those blossoms on the trees and all of those buds in the ground are beginning to come back to life. They've been dead all winter, and now they are resurrecting. Are you with me? And so what has died in your life? Has your love died? Has your passion died? Has your courage died? Has your joy faded away? Has your commitment faded away? Has your desire, has your faith? Whatever it is, God can bring things that are dead and breathe life into them. Bring them back. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third, he will raise us up. And Jesus, in Luke chapter 24, the Bible says, he told them, this is what was written. The Messiah will suffer and raise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. He said, this is what's going to happen on the third day. By the way, I've looked all throughout the Old Testament. The only place it says anything about being raised on the third day is Hosea 6. So that's what Jesus is talking about. On that third day, he's going to raise us up. And when he is, repentance for forgiveness of sins. You know what repentance is? It's that same word. It's to turn around, to turn back to the Lord, to come and to seek after him again. And so, man, I love, we did a series a few years back on called The Road to Revival. And I love going back and studying the historical revivals and just seeing what happened and how the Lord moved in different places. One of my favorite is the Welsh Revival, which happened right around the turn of the 19th century. And it was just a couple of young people, you know, not much more than teenagers. They were Calvinist Methodists. Did you know there was such a thing? That's usually a contradiction in terms. But they were devout believers, and they were just down on their knees at the altar, you know, having prayer times. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit began to pour out on them. And everywhere they went, the building would be packed out, and people would come because they knew that there was something that was real that was happening. It only lasted for a couple of years. It was a flash in the pan. But it was so impactful on the country of Wales that they have a soccer match. They call it football, but it's not football, it's soccer. And on the trophy, on down the years, it has the winner of which team won. And then for 2 years, there's no winner because it just says revival, revival. They filled up all of the soccer stadiums, and everybody came out for these revivals. And it wasn't anything different than what we're doing. You say, how can we recreate that? Friends, for years, I've tried every once in a while to recreate somebody else's revival. It never works. And if you go to visit that place, you say, what are they doing different? They're not doing anything different. They're loving Jesus. They're worshiping the Lord. They're giving their hearts to the Lord. And just God is doing something in our midst. God can bring a revival in you in the midst of any situation that you're at. So when they get together in Wales, they would just begin to sing a song. Sometimes there wasn't even a preacher. Sometimes there would just be somebody in the back that would start to sing a song, and they all start singing a hymn. And before you knew it, there would be one guy in the back that just came from the coal mines. And he'd come walking up to the altar with tears streaming down his face, down through all the coal dust, and just give his heart to the Lord. He knew he'd lived a sinful life his whole life, and just something got a hold of his life. I wonder if you ever had that kind of experience in your life. God is a God that takes things that have died and brings life back into them. Brings life back into them. You know what they say, and I don't even know if it's true, but it's one of my favorite anecdotes from the Welsh revivals. They say that it was so impactful on the entire nation that afterwards in the coal mines in Wales, they had to get new donkeys. Because the donkeys that they used in the coal mines, they didn't understand how the guys were talking to them, because all they knew, understood how to respond to was cussing. And once all those guys got saved and they stopped cussing, they had to get new donkeys because they didn't understand the language. Isn't that a great story? I don't even care if it's true. That's just awesome right there. Could you imagine if our Columbia County was so changed and so turned back to the Lord that not even the pets understood what we were talking about? That your cats and your dogs didn't recognize you? Friends, I don't know about you, but in every season of my life, I need a revival. I get to that point, and it's not that I need to get saved all over again, but sometimes I just need to be revived. Anybody else? Sometimes I just need that new start. Sometimes I just need a new season. Where's Molly? She's gone. You know, she's not here. It's because I say amen and nobody says anything. And she's usually my one ringer if nobody else does. That's how I knew she wasn't here. I can't see anything from up here. No, that's all right. I just said amen and it was like crickets. And I looked around and I said, Molly must not be in here, because if nobody else says amen, at least Molly amens me. Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. See what a difference it makes? All it takes is one. It just starts with one, and then it goes out from there. So the thing about resurrection, the thing about revival, you notice the word re in there, is the thing about revival is you can't be revived unless you were once alive and now you're dead. So it's something that died. And so the Bible talks about us following after Jesus, not only in his death that we die to the old self, that the old self is buried, and then the old self is resurrected again. The Bible says in Romans 6, he said, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life, that we could start over again. Why? Because we've been buried with him and resurrected, and now the life that we live is a life of resurrection. That theme of resurrection, friends, is all throughout the Bible. And one of the things we know about the Lord is he is a God of resurrection. The Bible says in Romans 8, two chapters later, he says that same power that raised Jesus from the grave will quicken your mortal bodies in Christ Jesus as well. He'll bring strength into our bones. That there's something so powerful about the message of resurrection. Do you need resurrection power in your life right now? Who could use a fresh start? Who could use some renewal? I'm so convinced that that only happens because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And that theme is so powerful, friends. Even people that don't know the Lord know it. I loved it. I was going to show this clip, but I'm not going to, because it's from E.T. Anybody remember E.T., the extraterrestrial? And at some point, E.T. dies, we think, and then he comes back to life. I was watching a director's clip with Steven Spielberg, and he says, you know, for a good Jewish boy, I sure have a lot of themes of resurrection in my movies. I thought, how amazing and how profound to say that. He said, yeah, I'm not a Christian, I'm Jewish, but even I understand the power of resurrection. Something has died, and something that now has been brought back to life. And so the last verse says, let us know the Lord. Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge the Lord. That word is radaf. It means to pursue, to chase after, to chase it down. So the knowledge of the Lord in our life, to know him. And by the way, that's a very personal and an intimate word. It's the word yada is also the word that it uses between a husband and a wife. You know, in the Old Testament where it says, and Adam knew Eve. You know what he's talking about. He's talking about having a close relationship. Now he's talking about in our relationship with the Lord, that we would know him, not just to have an intellectual knowledge of him, but to have a relationship with him, to have intimacy with him. Let us press on. Let us chase after it. Let us keep running after it until we finally found it. And every new season requires that we get a fresh perspective, that we get new knowledge from the Lord. Say, Lord, my last season is not like this season. I need you to reveal to me what this new season's going to be about for me. Sometimes we wonder why things aren't working is because we're still working off of a word from a year ago. And the Lord wants to, remember last week, he wants to give us his word new every morning. He wants to speak to us. You're not in the same season you were 10 years ago, 20 years ago. I'm not either. We're different. I'm a changed person. And so I have to get up every day and say, Lord, okay, now what do you want to do in me? Now what do you want me to say? Now what do you want me to be? In Romans 12, 2, the Apostle Paul calls it renewing of the mind. He said, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. Would you read it with me? But be transformed by the what? The renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good and his pleasing and his perfect will. Sometimes we need the voice of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we need the voice of a good brother or sister who's also listening to the Holy Spirit. I can't tell you how many times the Holy Spirit sounds like Molly in my life. But sometimes we just need a fresh perspective. We need the Lord to come along and saying, you have been here, and now you're going here. You've been doing this, but now I want you to do this. And so the clip I did bring to you, why do I bring clips? Because if a picture's worth 1,000 words, how much is a video? And I'm also ADD, so I need a break in the middle of preaching sometimes and or listening to it or whatever. But one of my favorite sports movies of all time is Rudy. How many of you have ever seen the movie Rudy? It's a movie about an undersized football player that dreams of playing for Notre Dame. And he finally makes the team, but he doesn't get to play much because he's so small. It's based on a true story, by the way. Rudy's a real guy. And he barely makes it into Notre Dame, but can't afford to live in the dorms. So he stows away in the janitor's room. And the janitor ends up befriending him and becoming a mentor to him. And so I just love this scene. It's one of the encouraging scenes of the movie Rudy. If you've never seen it, you should go home and watch it. But watch this scene with me.
Check with the weather service by 5, and we'll make a decision then. Hey. What you doing here? Don't you have practice?
Not anymore. I quit.
Oh. Well, since when are you the quitting kind?
I don't know. I just don't see the point anymore.
So you didn't make the dress list? There are greater tragedies in the world.
I wanted to run out of that tunnel for my dad. To prove to everyone that I worked...
Prove what?
That I was somebody.
Oh, you are so full of... You're 5 feet nothing. 100 and nothing. And you got hardly a speck of athletic ability. And you hung in with the best college football team in the land for 2 years. And you're also going to walk out of here with a degree from the University of Notre Dame. In this lifetime, you don't have to prove nothing to nobody except yourself. And after what you've gone through, if you haven't done that by now, it ain't going to never happen. Now go on back.
Sorry I never got you to see your first game in here.
Well, I've seen too many games in this stadium.
I thought you said you never saw a game.
I've never seen a game from the stands.
You were a player?
I rode the bench for 2 years. Thought I wasn't being played because of my color. I got filled up with a lot of attitude. So I quit. Still not a week goes by, I don't regret it. And I guarantee a week won't go by in your life. You won't regret walking out, letting them get the best of you. You hear me clear enough?
I want that guy to live in my basement. Whenever you have a bad day, who could use a pep talk like that every once in a while? We get so down and, oh, man, I don't know if I'm ever going to make it. I ought to just quit. You ever feel like quitting? You ever feel like just giving up? You ever feel like it's no use? And every once in a while, we just need someone that really loves us to come along and say, stop quitting. Stop quitting. Press on. Hosea was like that. Hosea did not pull punches. He didn't come and write his prophecies down to make people feel just all good about themselves. He meant it to challenge them. He said, know the Lord. Press on to know the Lord. Keep pressing on. And then he gives a promise. He says, if you keep pressing on, then he's going to come to you. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. That means he'll come through. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth. His promise is just this. If we keep pressing on, he'll keep coming through. If we do what we can, he's going to give us the strength to make it down the road. Amen. Psalm 104 says like this, when you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send your spirit, they are created and you renew the face of the ground. Praise God. I love it. How many need the presence of the Holy Spirit in their life right about now? who could use a second wind right about now. I just want to pray for you. Can we pray together? Pray with me. Lord Jesus, all over this place, I just pray, Lord, for your renewal, the presence of your Holy Spirit to come. Lord, that you would just come and breathe your breath upon us, just like you breathed life into Adam's nostrils and made him alive. I pray, Lord God, for new life in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, in every marriage, new life in Jesus' name. That this would be a new season. I pray, Lord, for our plans and our purposes and all of our careers and the things that are so important to us. Give us a new perspective. Help us to know what's changed and what's the same. Help us to know where to go and how to step out. And Lord, the most important thing, whenever we've lost our courage, whenever we've lost our hope, whenever we've lost that feeling that we can keep going down the road, I just pray right now, Lord God, for a spirit of revival. That you've breathed life once again. Breathe that life into us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just receive it from him. Thank you, Lord. We give you the praise today. And friends, while nobody's looking around, just for a moment of privacy, if you're here in this place, you know, one of the things you need to do is just open up your heart to the Lord. Just as I was talking about a minute ago, reaching out to him and connecting with your Maker. Asking him to come into your life. Asking him to revive you once again. If you're here in this place and you just need to reconnect with the Lord, would you do something brave? Just look up at me for a moment, would you? Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, sister. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We give you the praise. Amen, brother. Oh, would you stand to your feet with me today? There's about a half a dozen people here just saying, Lord, just come into my life once again. Can we just pray with them? Would you just agree with me in prayer? If you can stand, feel free, or just sit. That's either way is fine. But just grab somebody's hand next to you, would you? Just pray with me. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart today. Be my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me clean and write my name in the book of life. Everything that I have and everything that I am is on the altar before you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen, amen. Give the Lord a clap offering today. Just praise him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I love all of you so much. Have a wonderful day. Go in the grace of the Lord.